Hello and welcome to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Monger. He's the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. At Light the Way, we believe the most powerful tool we possess when sharing our faith with others is the Word of God. It was the Apostle Paul that said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." So as we open the Word together, it's our prayer that you'll not only receive what God has for you, but share what you learn with those you come in contact with. And now, here's Pastor Colin.
Would you join me by opening your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 1? The book of Daniel, chapter 1. It would seem that people have an inherent fear of standing out. Nobody wants to do it. We feel much safer when we blend in with the world around us. And if you think about it, that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. You remember when they were in the Garden of Eden and they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? What was the first thing they did after that fall? They ran. They sewed fig leaves together, it tells us, right? And then they hid from the presence of God. They tried to blend in with the world around them. And ever since then, people have been trying to blend in. Anything at all rather than stand out. Back in 1951, a researcher by the name of Solomon Asch did an experiment where he hypothesized a person would be willing to give an incorrect answer to a question rather than stand out from the crowd. And so what he did was gathered five people in a room. Four of them were paid actors, and they knew what was going on, but the one person was the research subject, and they didn't know what was going on. And Solomon showed the group a chart with three different lines on it, and he asked the question, which one was the longest? Well, one by one, all of the paid actors all answered the same way. They said the shortest line was actually the longest, and it came to the person they were testing. And they gave him the same question. They said, which line is the longest? And wouldn't you know, 75% of the time, the person was willing to go along with the group and give a wrong answer rather than stand out. It just goes to show that the nature of people is we don't want to stand out. We want to blend in. We don't want to be bold. And yet that's exactly what Jesus calls us to do, to be bold, to stand out from the world around us, to shine as light and go against the culture of the time. That's why the story of Daniel is so interesting, because Daniel stood out. Daniel was bold. Daniel went against the culture of the time. Daniel was not afraid to be different, especially in a world that encourages conformity. We've been looking at the life of Daniel as we've been going through the series, Dare to be Different, and we continue that look today in chapter 1. Notice what it says in verse 17. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. The title of our message today is Dare to be Bold, because that's what we see Daniel do, but also because that's what we're called to do, to be bold. I like what it says in Proverbs 28, the righteous are as bold as lions. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you're a person with a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you are called to be different from the rest of the world. You're called to go against the current ways of secular thinking and to look differently and live different, have different priorities than the world around you. You're called to stand out boldly. If you're a basketball fan, you might remember a player by the name of Rick Barry. Rick Barry played professional ball in the NBA from about 1965 till 1980, a 15-year career, which even today is very impressive. And he is considered, even 50 years later, to be one of the best 50 players of all time. But Rick Barry was different, because whenever it came time for his free throw shot, he wouldn't shoot it overhand like everyone else. No. Rick Barry would square up to the line, and with an underhand kind of granny shot, he'd shoot those free throws. And everybody noticed, and everybody laughed. And they said, here's this NBA player who doesn't even know how to shoot a free throw. But you know, Rick Barry, he had the last laugh, because not only was his underhand shot scientifically proven to be better, Rick's numbers proved it was better. By the end of his career, he was averaging 90% from the free throw line. Just to put that into perspective, 50 years later, with all the advanced technology that modern athletes go through and use in their training sessions, the best teams could hope for in 2018 was 75% from that same line. And the point is this: just because it's popular doesn't mean it's right. And just because no one else agrees with you doesn't mean you're wrong either. But it does mean you will stand out from the crowd. And if it's one thing the world is very good at doing, it's discouraging people from standing out. If you were to travel abroad right now and go to North Korea, you would find that the government requires every one of its citizens to choose between 15 state-approved haircuts. Anything else will land you in jail under police arrest. I read one study recently that showed 73% of young people feel pressured by their friends to look as happy on social media as everyone else. But you know, it gets worse. Because in her book, Love Thy Body, Nancy Piercy says, over 70% of people think physician-assisted suicide should be available if it means eliminating physical pain. But she goes on to say, people in places that have legalized it report feeling pressure to choose that option when their care becomes too expensive for their family. We live in a world that pressures people and in every way possible discourages originality. And yet believers are called to be original. We're called to stand out boldly against the backdrop of this world. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 3, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. You're called to stand out, and God will help you do that. Notice what it says in verse 17. It says that God gave them skill and learning in all literature and wisdom. This was a spiritual gift these boys had in the middle of Babylon. God had equipped them with knowledge unlike almost anyone else, and he will equip you. And he will encourage you, and he will give you gifts to stand out from the world around you and to live the life he's called you to live. Paul puts it this way in Philippians 2, be without blemish in the midst of a crooked generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. When people look at your life, they should see light. They should see an anomaly. You know what that means? According to the dictionary, an anomaly is something that deviates from the status quo. It's different than what's expected, and your life should be different than what the world expects. Jesus' life was different than what the world expected. You remember when he was born, and he was growing up in Jerusalem, and he came of an age where people started recognizing him, and he went into the ministry and started doing all these miracles. People thought he was there to overthrow Rome. They thought he would raise an army, that he would invade Jerusalem, that he would conquer the Roman centurions there, that there would be this grand insurrection. It even tells us a number of times they tried to make him a king by force. They wanted their independence, and Jesus, they thought, was the man who was there to do it. And yet, when he was finally arrested and standing before Pontius Pilate in John chapter 18, you remember what he says? My kingdom, he said, is not of this world. That was very different than what people expected. His life was different than what people expected. His teachings were different as well. Did you know that during Roman times, husbands and fathers, legally speaking, they owned their wives and children? And because they had legal ownership over their wives and children, they were allowed to do whatever they wanted, including put them to death. But that was the culture. That was the expectation. That's what people grew up understanding as normal. And yet Jesus shows up and he says things that go against that culture. It was a world that owned its children, and Jesus said, but God loves the children. He said in Matthew 18, unless you become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. He said in Luke chapter 18, let the children come to me and don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. That was a bold thing to say. It was a world that said husbands owned their wives, that wives' lives were simply there to please the husband. And then Paul shows up and he says, no, 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 no. You don't own your wives, he said in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, you're called to love your wives as Christ loved the church and sacrificed himself for her. That was a bold thing to say. Ever since day one, the Christian faith has stood out boldly. Paul's ministry stood out boldly too. It seems that he never passed up an opportunity to stand out. He was going to the church in Athens, and it's recorded in Acts 17 that when he got there, it said he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day. Imagine that for just a minute. You go to church, and there's Paul, and he's preaching, and he's evangelizing, and you say, okay, well, that's normal. But then you go to Wawa, and there's Paul, and he's preaching again, and then you leave there, and you go to Giant, or you go to Walmart, and there's Paul, and he's just everywhere. Well, that's what he was doing. It was a bold kind of ministry. He did the same thing when he went to the church at Corinth in the very next chapter of Acts, chapter 18. It says Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed him, he shook his garments and said, "Your blood is on your own heads." That's a bold thing to say. He went to the church at Ephesus in Acts 19, and it says he entered the synagogue, and for 3 months he spoke boldly. He did the same thing at the church at Jerusalem in Acts 21. It said he stood on the steps, and he waved his arms around, and as soon as people were quiet, he addressed them. But you know, probably my favorite bold thing Paul did in his ministry was when he was on his way to Rome. He was on a boat. You might know this story. And a great storm came, and it started rocking their little boat. And it says in Acts 27, since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "You should have listened to me. You should have done what I said, men, and not got on this boat, and you wouldn't be in this mess." There's no doubt about it that Paul stood out boldly. And there's no doubt about it, Daniel stood out boldly. He was gifted by God with wisdom and knowledge and insight unlike the king of Babylon had ever seen. And it showed, and we know that because it says in verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in all the kingdom. As it turns out, this Jewish boy from Jerusalem knew more about being Babylonian than they did. He stood out boldly, so stand out boldly. Second, step up willingly. Notice in verse 18, it says, at the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them. And among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. I have a question. How easy do you think it would have been for Daniel and his friends to just kind of stand back and keep quiet? Not share what they know, not cooperate, not oppose anything, but just hoard their spiritual gifts to themselves. You see, Daniel knows what God has done in his life. And he knows he has the ability to be a help to that king, but after all, he doesn't want to be there. If Daniel lived in 2019, he might even put on his Facebook page, hashtag not my king. He didn't vote that way. This wasn't his plan. This isn't even his home. He's not going to help them. He'll just keep it to himself. How easy would that have been? And yet that's not at all what Daniel does. It tells us that he served willingly. You see, part of being bold is being willing. Being willing to go where God sends and serve where God places you, even if it's not your first choice. Back when Billy Graham was at the peak of ministry, it was during the Cold War between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. He was invited to speak at the Soviet Union, and he accepted. He actually went a couple of times, and he faced a lot of backlash from the people here at home. They called him a traitor. They said he had to explain himself, and even the church turned on him in some cases, all because he took the gospel behind the Iron Curtain to the people who nobody thought deserved it. It was so bad that on the plane ride home one time, Billy Graham confided in one of his aides, and he said, "I think this is the end of my ministry. Nobody's going to come hear me now." But he said he felt called by God to preach the gospel to every creature, and so he did. And we know it wasn't the end of his ministry. God blessed him for another 4 decades. Eventually, he preached to more people than any other person in human history. You see, not every job is glamorous. There are some jobs you will have in life. Some of you know what I mean. Some of you have these now, but these are terrible jobs. The pay is lousy. The hours are lousy. The work is lousy. The boss is a jerk. The coworkers are miserable, lazy people. They miss their deadlines and you get blamed for it. The benefits, well, they stink. And anybody and everybody would say in that situation, nobody would blame you if you didn't give your all. And yet we're called to be different from that. We're called to stand out boldly from that. And Paul would say in Colossians 3, whatever you do in work or deed, do in the name of the Lord. He says a few verses later in Colossians 3, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. That's a different attitude than the world has. That's a willing heart. And God wants a willing heart. He's looking for people who, when they're called, respond like the prophet Isaiah did in Isaiah 6. It says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me. That's the type of heart the Lord is looking for. God wants people who think the way Mary thought when Gabriel the angel shows up in her life in Luke chapter 1 and says, Mary, I know you have all these ideas about marrying Joseph and having this nice little house in the country down the road from your mom and 2 camels in the garage. But I'll tell you, Mary, your life's going to be different. You're going to be the mother of Christ. And in that moment, everything she had ever hoped for in her future changed. And yet Mary took the opportunity in Luke 1 and said, behold, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. You see, God wants a heart that steps up willingly. Did you know that in Roman culture, a slave owner who wanted to reward his slave with freedom could do so? And if the slave loved the master, they could give the freedom back. And what they would do is then become bonded to this master and his family for the rest of their life out of their own free will. That's where we get the term bond servant. It's someone who chooses to serve even though they had the opportunity to leave. And the Bible says that when you voluntarily gave your life to Jesus, you became a bondservant of God. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul puts it this way, for he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freed man of the Lord. We were talking about Adam and Eve earlier, and sometimes people ask the question, why would God put the tree of knowledge in the garden if he knew they were going to eat and sin? And he knew that everything would come into this world through that, all the death, all the suffering, all the disease. And he knew Jesus would have to go to the cross to fix it all. Why would he put it there if he knew that's what was going to happen? And the answer is very simple, because without the ability to say no, the yes means absolutely nothing. God wants a bond servant, not a bound servant. He wants a willing heart. And Daniel had a willing heart. Daniel had every reason to not help and resent his work and hate this king, and yet he doesn't. He serves willingly for the rest of his life. And consider this. When you have that kind of attitude to your work, something wonderful happens. It goes from being work to becoming worship. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Did you ever think about your work as being an act of worship? But it is. You can give God glory through what you do. You're not in your job for the sake of another person. You're in your job to give God glory through your service. And when you do that, when you serve God in such a way that worships him through your work, it also turns it into an opportunity to witness. You can show Jesus to other people through what you do. Matthew chapter 5 puts it this way, let your light shine before others, that they would see your good works and give glory to your Father. That's a witness through your work. And you know, it's been proven time and time again. that a person's most effective ministry happens at their place of employment, because that's where you spend most of your time. You will spend more time with the people you work with than any other group, including your family. And so whatever that work is, wherever you may find yourself, step up willingly. Third, to speak out confidently. Notice it says in verse 19, the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 20, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding, they were 10 times better. You know what I love about that? It doesn't matter to Daniel that this is a Babylonian king. It doesn't matter that he's in a pagan palace, that he's surrounded by pagan gods. It doesn't matter that he's the only believer in the room. Daniel's not afraid to share. What a great lesson that is. Because the gospel will often do its greatest work in situations where it's not welcome. That's why in places like North Korea, China, Libya, the gospel is outlawed, but the church is exploding. And Daniel will see the same thing happen here in Babylon. This pagan nation will be converted. And when the king sees the power of God in action, he says in Daniel chapter 3, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And chapter 4 starts with that same king Nebuchadnezzar crying out to the Lord. There is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in the book of Romans that faith comes by hearing the word. I like what Isaiah said in Isaiah 55. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, says the Lord. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The gospel has power, so speak out confidently. But that comes with a warning. Speak out confidently, but not proudly. Notice how Daniel shares with the king, but he gives glory to God. He says in verse 17 that God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And then it says in verse 20, they were found 10 times better. Everything Daniel knew and understand and interpreted came from God. And he even says that to the king later on. Daniel comes before Nebuchadnezzar, and it says in Daniel 2, that Daniel told the king, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Daniel knows that his ability to understand anything comes from God, and so he gives God the credit. And so it goes with us in life. Everything we understand comes because of revelation of God. He has installed within nature around us things to learn. Everything about nature and biology and physics and math and art and entertainment and culinary arts and whatever it may be, all of that is learnable because God has put it there to begin with. Proverbs 25 puts it this way, it's the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search them out. Everything we understand is simply there because God has allowed it, and he's revealed it to us. But when we deny God's participation in our understanding, our knowledge becomes riddled with holes. And I'll give you a great example. Science will tell you that everything in the universe came from one point in space at some time in history, but they can't tell you how or why or when. The Bible, however, solves all of those problems in the very first sentence of the book. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So speak out confidently, but not proudly. Also speak out confidently, but not aggressively. Did you know how Daniel waited for an invitation from the king before he shared? So many Christians have such a hard time sharing their faith with family and friends. And they do because they don't wait for the invitation. They just kind of show up with Bible in hand and they start preaching and quoting verses at people, and they find out very quickly people don't like to be quoted at and preached at and condemned. And so it comes across as aggressive and pushy and rude, and people shut down and they don't listen. Well, Daniel wants the king to listen, and so he waits for the invitation. So stand out boldly, step up willingly, speak out confidently. And finally, as we close, serve faithfully. Notice verse 21 again. It says, Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. You know what we never read? We never read about Daniel staging a coup. We don't read about that. We don't read about Daniel involved with a mutiny or a rebellion or leading some armed insurrection. We don't read about Daniel opposing Babylon or in the name of God overthrowing the government. We just don't read about those types of things. Instead, what we read is that he served faithfully for the rest of his life using the gifts God gave him. That's a bold thing to do, because anyone else in that position would be looking for a way out. And that's the way the world believes. That's the way the world thinks, that whatever we're doing, it's our responsibility to get out if we don't like it, that we're not obligated to help when we don't agree. It's a very different thing to say, even though I don't agree, and even though you stand against me, and even though I know you don't respect my God, I'm going to serve faithfully and with integrity for as long as I'm here. That's a bold thing to do. And Daniel was a bold kind of guy. He went against the crowd. He lived differently. He refused to conform to the world. And I dare you to be bold and stand out against the crowd and live differently from the rest of the world. I dare you to step up willingly. I dare you to serve with all you have, regardless the condition. I dare you to speak out confidently with the gospel, even in times where it may be a bit uncomfortable. And I dare you to serve faithfully for as long as you're in that situation. I dare you to be bold. I dare you to be different.
You've been listening to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Munger, the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. If you'd like to hear this message again, stop by our website at lighttheway.radio.org. Not only will you find an archive of Pastor Colin's teachings there to listen to, but there you can find out more about our ministry. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," and we want everything we do and say to revolve around that. If you'd like to get behind what we're doing, please visit lighttheway.radio.org. and learn how you can become a Light partner. When you do so today, we'll say thanks by sending you a free copy of Pastor Colin's book, Meet Jesus. In this book, you'll discover 7 miracles of Jesus and the 7 I Am statements he gave in the Gospel of John. All of it was done so we would have a better understanding of him as God. Again, to become a Light partner or just receive more information, log on to lighttheway.radio.org. Thank you for listening today, and come back next week as Dr. Colin Munger once again delivers another helpful message from God's Word to help us light the way. In the meantime, remember to be a light to someone this week.